message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
You know, it's a common phrase this time of year. Maybe you've already said it, probably have already heard it. But Jesus is the reason for the season. I don't disagree with that, but I wonder if God might not hear that and go, no, you're the reason for the season. Like that sign above my head says, hope was born on Christmas Day. We're the reason he came. Amen? So if you say Jesus is the reason for the season and I hear you, I'm not going to, you know, correct or anything like that. He is, but we are. I want to go to Isaiah 9:6, and then I'm going to go to a couple of other verses in the New Testament as well. Isaiah 9:6, I really love this verse. In part, it says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. I like that verse because in those few words, we see the humanity of Jesus, the child being born, and we see the deity of Jesus, the son being given. You can think of another verse in the New Testament, can't you? We quoted it last week. We quote it fairly often. It's the most quoted verse ever and the most known, and it's John 3:16, and that's where the Son was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That if we would believe in him, we wouldn't perish, but we'd have everlasting life. So unto us a child was born, but a son was given. I want to focus on the child is born part a little bit. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, she, talking about Mary, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Breathe on us, just as Teresa's saying. Thank you for the breath of God in man. Lord, stir in our hearts, anoint the words that need to be heard, and let us hear in our spirit, and let your word do in us what needs to be done. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Mary, a teenage girl, had a boy. She didn't have to struggle with name. She didn't have to buy the name book and go through all the different names, and no, not that one, not that one. No, I've got an aunt named Mildred. We can't go with that. The name was already given. Teresa and I could have used some help with our firstborn on that. We didn't quite have the name down until after birth had already happened, but she already knew that the name would be Jesus, and she knew it was a boy. Before ultrasound, before technology. You know, now we can find out if it's a boy or a girl. Of course, we live in a day where you can change. I'm not supposed to go down them roads. So she knew she was going to have a boy. She knew what the name would be. And the reason he was coming, he would save his people from their sins. And we know the end of the story. In order for him to save his people from their sins, he had to die on Calvary's cross, right? So a child was born and the son was given. The son given is the greatest gift that's ever been given. I don't know what you're getting this year. I don't know what your favorite gift of the past has been. I don't know what your favorite gift this year might be, but the best, the greatest gift ever given was the Son, Jesus. I want to title the message, Man's Greatest Discovery. We know the greatest gift, but I want to talk about man's greatest discovery. But before we get into that, let's talk about the difference between inventing something and discovering something. I think you know, but I want to have a little fun with this. To invent something is to come up with something. It's to create. It's to produce. When you invent something, you create something. To discover something is to notice something or to realize something that's already there. It's coming with an awareness. So to create is to come up with. To discover is to find out, to realize. See, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. But Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity. America was discovered, but the earth was created. So there's the difference. And here's the thing. God never discovered anything. God created it all. There was nothing for God to discover. He made it. From nothing, He made it. He allows man to discover, and He allows man to create. But when God creates something, or when man creates something, He uses something that's already there. God created something from nothing. God, man does create, but he creates from something. God created everything from nothing. That's the difference. Story that maybe you've heard. God is sitting in heaven one day, and a scientist comes up to him. Says, God, we don't need you anymore. We have figured out a way to create life out of nothing, just the way that you did it. And God says, oh, well, tell me. Well, we take some dirt, and we shape it and form it into your likeness, and then we have created a way to breathe life into that dirt, and then it becomes alive. And God says, oh, well, show me. The scientist says, okay. Scientist bends down and gets some dirt. He starts to shape it, and God says, whoa, whoa, you need to get your own dirt. God made man out of dirt, but God made the dirt. God never discovered anything. He created everything. Let's talk about some inventions. And aren't you glad for inventions? Here's just a few. Let's go way back. We'll start way back. Henry Ford invented the Model T. Terry Dobson, did you drive one of those? No? Okay. The Wright brothers invented the airplane. Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. Some of you won't know what this is, but Aaron Montgomery Ward, that was his name, Aaron Montgomery Ward. You know what he invented, right? He created the catalog, the card catalog and mail order. You could order out of a catalog. Y'all remember the catalog? About 2 foot thick. Willis Carrier invented air conditioning. Thank you, Jesus, for Willis. Dorothy Gerber, you know what she invented, don't you? Prepared baby food in a jar. Frank McNamara, and we can blame him, maybe, he invented the credit card. Marion Donovan invented the disposable diaper. That's good. That's very good for me because I don't remember this, but I was told that Mom left the house and left Dad with me one day, and he changed my diaper and put one of them pins, them safety pins, through my skin. He couldn't get me to stop crying. What a wimp I was. And finally, Mom came home and discovered, he created it, she discovered it. So I'm grateful for the disposable diaper. John Deere invented the steel plow. George Crumb invented potato chips. Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. You know, the guy for the Peace Prize. Jacob Schick invented the electric razor. And I don't care what they say, there is no electric razor that gets as close as a blade. Robert Adler, in 1950, invented the remote control. And all the men said. And then Joseph Gayety invented toilet tissue. Still pretty popular. And then as we invent things, we give more room for other inventions. One invention leads to another invention. I mean, Henry Ford invented the Model T, right? And now we've got the modern cars. And then somebody came and invented the television, the TV. And then somebody put the two together and put the TV in the car. That was a good idea. That, hey, are we there yet? See, young parents today, they don't even know what that means. Are we there yet? You've never heard that. In fact, you've heard, I'm not done with my movie. I know we're there, but can I finish my movie? I'm preaching off of an iPad. There's the iMac, the iPhone, the iTouch, the iTunes. And some of you might be like, I confused. Yes, the iPad. Most of you have in your pocket, I meant to have mine here, it's over there at the piano, but a phone. And it's not just a phone. It's a camera. It's a calculator. It's a clock. It's a dictionary. It's a GPS system. It's a Bible and more. And it's filled with apps. And it all works by touching the screen. Anybody can do it. It's amazing. And then we got satellite stuff going on. That same phone, you can punch in an address. Y'all don't even know what it means to fold up a map. No, you just punch the button, set the phone there, and it tells you, take the exit, turn. You don't know where anything is. If all of a sudden we didn't have phones, you'd be lost. And the phone does that by communicating with a satellite that's orbiting around the Earth a few miles up there. And then we get impatient. Hurry up. It's going up there and back. That's pretty quick. We can grab information on most everything from almost anywhere by surfing the net. I remember taking a college course many years ago. We had to do this paper, genealogy and other things that were required. And there was a particular library in Houston that we were going to have to go to get this one book, to find this one thing. And that's what she said. You're going to have to make a trip to Houston. I mean, we live in Angleton. It's like, got to drive an hour. There ain't no trip to Houston anymore. With your phone, you can find out anything and everything. YouTube can teach you how to do all kinds of good things and some not so good things. Satellite, it's amazing. We live in the land of WWW. What does that stand for? Wow, wow, wow. It's amazing the inventions that we have here. I know we're tired of 2020, but really, we got it pretty good compared to other times. And then some inventions come along and they make other older inventions obsolete. I'd like to see the hands of anybody that still takes the Montgomery Ward catalog. Yeah, we don't need that catalog. Are you serious? And you keep it? You get it in the mail and you keep it? Wow, write that down. Carolyn McCormick does Montgomery Ward catalog. It's heavy. It's a good doorstopper. The film. You got a camera on your phone, right? Always ready. I'm leaving some of you out of this because you don't know what this is. Little Kodak camera with a little film thing. And you could get 12 exposures, 24 exposures, or 36 exposures. You were something if you had the 36 exposures. You could take 36 pictures before you had to quit. And if you loaded that, y'all may not remember this, but I learned the trick. If you loaded that thing just right, you could squeeze 38 pictures out of that. Man, you thought you were doing something then. You were cheating the system, getting a couple extra pictures. Film. What's film? The other day, I'm in my yard, and a car drives by, and they throw something out the window. We don't take the paper. I mean, what's a paper? I know, Blix takes the paper. He gives me the ads that I need to see. But it was one of those new Brazoria County red phone books. She threw it out in the driveway. I was standing outside, and she threw it out in the driveway. And I walked over to it. I picked it up, and I walked over to my trash bin that's over there by the garage, and I put it in there. I'm serious. It sat on the driveway about 17 seconds, and then it was in the trash. I mean, I would have given it back to her, but she was gone. I can't think of the last time that I've opened up a phone book. Phone book. Some of the students, what's a phone book? We won't even tell you about the rotary phone. Okay, Carolyn McCormick, do you have a rotary phone? Good, thank you. She's moving on up. Oh, we got a rotary phone back there. Yes, we used to have somebody in our church whose phone number was 849, this is no joke, 0000. Yes, yeah, there you go. So the zero took the longest. You'd have to spin that thing on and then just wait. And then do it. I mean, sometimes it's like I need to call her and it's like, never mind. It's too long to call her. She's basically long distance. We don't even have a landline anymore. I know some of you may have a landline. There's still some hanging around, but they are fading pretty quickly. We don't have one. They're gone. Newer inventions make way for make older inventions obsolete. Newer inventions make older ops. I can't say it. I'm just reading it right there. Older inventions obsolete. We don't set up hotels and stuff anymore. Hey, about to make a trip, get on the phone and set up the hotels and find your map and mark it. We just get in the car and go. I drive, book us a hotel. And we just do everything on the way. Anybody else? And some of the students are like, of course, that's what we always done. No, that ain't what we always done. There's also been some not so good inventions. Let me just give you a couple. The theory of evolution is an invention of man. And it's not so good. You know why it's not so good? It's because it pushes God out of the picture. I'm not talking about the idea that evolution has happened. Things have evolved, but I'm talking about a big bang without God in the picture. And I'm telling you this, there might have been a big bang. I've said it many times. If there was a big bang, God lit the fuse. I'm talking about the theory of evolution that says there is no God. That theory of evolution has been invented by man, and it has been dangerous and not good for America because we now look to other things, scientists and other people, and not to God. Another invention of man that is not good is the phrase separation of church and state. It's a real phrase. It was really used, but it was never intended to mean what we have it meaning today. But the concrete on that one is pretty much dried. I don't know that we're going to get back from that. What that has done, it has introduced political correctness into our world. And political correctness is a constant issue now. Especially around Christmas. Y'all remember over 10 years ago, the battles used to be the nativity scene at the courthouse. The candy cane being passed out at school. Can't do that because the candy cane is a J, stands for Jesus. And separation of church and state, no candy canes. Now, I'm not being silly. That was a real deal. That was 10 plus years ago. We've got bigger battles now. A Bible on the teacher's desk. It used to be okay because in schools you used to teach out of the Bible. You would use Bible names and words to teach the alphabet. You would memorize verses in school. But now if you have a Bible on your desk as a teacher in America, you could lose your job. Why? Separation of church and state. A phrase that man has invented that has set us back. So not every invention is good. So, man's greatest discovery. We're talking about discovery, having a little fun with inventions. There is a difference between an invention and a discovery. But what is the greatest discovery? America was discovered. Electricity was discovered. Space was discovered. But what is the greatest discovery? Out of those three, I like America. I like electricity. And I like my space. I like them all, but which one of these is the greatest? Or maybe none of these are the greatest. Dr. James Simpson, born in 1811, is responsible for the discovery of chloroform's anesthetic qualities. We're grateful for that. Leading to medical use worldwide. He also laid a solid foundation for gynecology and predicted the discovery of the X-ray. Dr. Simpson was president of the Royal Medical Society and royal physician to the Queen, the highest medical position of his day. This is an intelligent man. We're going to ask him, what is man's greatest discovery? He was asked that very question. He said this, it was not chloroform. It was to know that I am a sinner and that I could be saved by the grace of God. A man has missed the whole meaning of life if he has not entered into an active, living relationship with God through Christ. This is what the scientists used to say. This is man's greatest discovery. To discover that without him, you're lost and undone. According to Dr. James Simpson, that is the greatest discovery. The greatest discovery in history has not been the law of gravity, calculus, DNA, or penicillin. The greatest discovery any individual could ever make is finding Jesus Christ and making him both Lord and Savior. But the thing is, before you do that, you got to know that you're a sinner. You got to know that you're lost. And so you got to discover that you're lost before you can find Jesus. Because if you find Jesus without knowing that you're lost, you're going to pass him right up. See, you're not going to appreciate the cure unless you know that you're sick. And sin is a disease that all men and women have. We all have it. It came with us when we entered the planet. Amen? We talked a little bit about this last week, goodness. And I just want to reemphasize it this week. It's good to be good. In fact, as a pastor, I recommend all Christians should try to be good. We want you to be good. And that means, you know, paying your bills. That means treating people kindly. That means putting the grocery buggy back in the little thing and not leaving it in the parking place where I can come and park. It means picking up trash and not throwing it on the ground. Be good. Your goodness is important, but it doesn't invite salvation. See, here's the thing about goodness. We can watch on the news, and we could go down a list of horrible things we've seen on the news. I remember a number of years ago, a woman on the news, I can't remember if it was 3 kids or 4 kids, but she drowned them all in the bathtub. A mother drowned her children in her bathtub. If I remember right, she said God told her to do it. Another story, a woman kills another woman and takes her baby from out of her womb. She killed her, cut her open, and took her baby because she wanted one. That's horrible. A man shoots another man for his shoes or his coat or $20. How many of y'all would say these people are not good? And you need to be good. So when we got stories like this and worse playing every night on the news, we can watch the news tonight and come up with another list of bad stories. And with stories like these, most of us can look in the mirror and feel pretty good about who we are. Right? Compared to the two ladies I just talked to you about, Teresa's pretty awesome. Teresa's a great mom. But compared to those two, almost everybody is, right? See, we treat people with respect as Christians. We give to charities that help the less fortunate. We give to Mission Possible. We put in a good day's work and provide for our families. We do the best we can in raising our children. We love our country. We love God. We pray. We're good. The thing about goodness, though, it is a relative term. Compared to the person on the news, we come out pretty good. But compared to maybe somebody else, maybe we don't come out so good. I don't remember the full context of the conversation, but we're talking about the rapture. And somebody said, well, maybe the rapture happened. And I looked over and I saw Brother Davis. I said, no, it ain't. If Brother Davis is still here, the rapture ain't happened. Well, what about you? Well, I'm hoping I go too, but I'm telling you for sure it didn't happen if Brother Davis is here. Because he's gooder than I. See, goodness is a relative term. Compared to somebody, we look wonderful. Compared to somebody else, we fall a little short. How good is good enough when it comes to meeting God's standard? Good enough ain't. Good enough ain't. Look, I didn't use the word gooder and ain't. That's because it's Christmas vacation, I'm out of school, and I can do that. So I was talking about political correctness the other day, and I was reading over my illustration, and I used the word dwarf in my illustration, so I looked it up on Google to see if that was politically correct. And it's okay, but they do prefer the term little people, so I've adapted it. So let's just say you're at a little people convention, and one of the little people notices that he's the tallest one of all the other little people. And he may very well be the tallest little people there, but he's still short. He's still short. And it doesn't matter how tall you stand compared to others, you still fall short of God's standards. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everybody. Hope was born on Christmas Day. We all need a Savior. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He is our bridge to heaven, to the Father. And you have to make the greatest discovery that you are a sinner, lost and undone, before you'll ever look to the Savior. If you look in the mirror and you think, I'm okay, then you won't look to Jesus. You need to look in the mirror, and on your best day, you're not okay. You still need a Savior. You won't receive the greatest gift until you make the greatest discovery. One preacher said it this way, if you don't see the beauty of Christ, you'll never see the ugliness of your sin. See, when it comes to sin, we excuse our sin, we rename our sin, we justify our sin, but the Bible says, confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Well, what is sin? You mean talking about when that woman drowned her kids and that man stole that $20 and killed that guy for his shoes? Yeah, that's sin. Murder is sin. But the Bible said this too. If you look on your brother with hate in your heart, you also are guilty of murder. God doesn't just judge the behavior. He judges the heart behind the behavior. And the fact of the matter is that some of us have the seed in us, and given time, it will produce what we have seen on the news. There but for the grace of God go any of us. We need a Savior, amen? Our greatest need. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent a Savior. And Jesus is his name. You shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. His name is above all other names. There is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved. And no mistake about it, everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be rescued. We are all in the deep sea of sin until Jesus pulls us out. You may swim better than another, but eventually you drown as well. We need a rescue, and Jesus is the one. Stand up with me. I know that most of you here, I mean, it's a small crowd. Most of you here have trusted Jesus as your Savior. So just let this be a reminder that even though you know him, you're still not all that. But he makes you all that. But it's Jesus that gets the glory. Amen? And if you're here and you don't know him, or if you're watching and you don't know Jesus, the reason he died on Calvary's cross, if you've ever wondered, why did Jesus die on a cross? That was the rescue. We had to be saved from our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A child was born, lived for 33 years, and then God gave him to Calvary's tree that whoever would believe in Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, while I pray this prayer, just hold your hand up. If you're watching and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you just need to recommit your life to him, while I pray this prayer, why don't you raise your hand as well or place it over your heart and just receive the prayer that I pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the great rescue. Lord, we may not be as bad off as some people are, and help us to look at those people and feel more sorrow than we do anger. They're lost. They're undone. But God, the guy that's educated with the suit and the tie and the job and the car and the house may be just as lost and undone. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we celebrate Christmas again, knowing that, yes, Jesus is the reason for this season. We exalt him. It's his birth month. But God, also, we are the reason for the season. Jesus came that we might have hope and life. And I pray that, and I thank you for that. And God, for anybody that just needs to know who you are, may today be their day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may his peace be yours today.